A friend of mine is, she's an adult. She has always been a maniacal fan of Disney things. She is especially crazy about Mickey Mouse. And she's always, you know, we always got her things from the Disney store, and she loved all these Disney things, especially Mickey. And at one point, as an adult, she finally had the chance to actually go to Disney World. And in anticipation of her trip, she said, "I've been a fan of Mickey Mouse all my life, and I can't believe I'm finally going to have the chance to meet the real thing." Now, I don't know about you, but we're talking about a person in a big fuzzy costume, dressed as a fictional character who started as a cartoon. So I think we're having a little trouble here with what is real and what is not real. This is not something I would describe as the real thing. But don't we all kind of struggle sometimes with what is real and what is not? Because the more tangible things in human life seem the most real, while the spiritual things seem less real. In our human mortal world, we tend to think that things that we can put our hands on are real, and things that we cannot put our hands on are not as real. We prayed today in our collect for ourselves to be empowered to pass through things temporal, that we lose not the things eternal. This is a way of articulating that we do have trouble discerning what is real and lasting and eternal, and what is temporal and passing away. Now, how can the temporal cause us to lose the eternal, as the collect says? If we confuse what is real and what is passing away, we can lose these things primarily through fear. The threats of this world can push us to neglect or even devalue the eternal. What is real? What is lasting? Is it that which is concrete, that which we can touch and feel and stand on? Or is it that which is so permanent, so eternal, that it cannot be taken away from us? Certainly the physical feels more threatening. We always have these thoughts of, you know, I want to do something, but there are these threats in our lives. We think I could be hurt or killed or humiliated or persecuted or berated. I could starve, I could freeze to death. All these things that are out there in our world are physical things, and they feel very threatening to us. As one writer says, though, because of our worries about these temporal things, we crucify ourselves between two thieves: regret for the past and fear of the future. Do you hear the language there? God doesn't crucify us. We crucify ourselves when we allow regret and fear to steal the present from us. Now, what forms does this crippling fear take? We push ourselves to accomplish what other people think might be meaningful, and we forfeit our own dreams and our own gifts. We push our children to accomplish something so that we feel we at least in part have a place in posterity. We buy anti-aging products to prolong life because we can't bear to admit that this earthly life won't last forever. Not constantly, but very often, we operate out of fear. And these are fears brought about by temporal things. We're afraid to lose the people we love, the things we rely on. And in that anxiety over the temporal, we crucify ourselves between two thieves: regret for the past and fear of the future. Our epistle today from the Romans offers an antidote for that fear and its consequences. Paul tells us that when we follow Christ, we have an antidote to fear. The fear that cripples us every bit as much as other sins like pride and avarice and gluttony and the other biggies that make the short list. The antidote in Romans is this: if God is for us, who is against us? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Elsewhere it says, we will not be separated from God by tribulation or peril or sword or principalities or powers or famine or persecution. None of these things that seem to be such imminent threats to us because they are physical, none of these things can take away our place in God's kingdom. Nothing can separate us from God. So that which cannot be taken away from us by principalities or powers or famine or persecution or sword, that which cannot be taken away is the most real. Those other threats are frightening and they're imminent often, but we are not condemned to live in fear. If we live in Christ Jesus, we can be in this place of tension between the temporal and the eternal, and we can do it with grace and with confidence and with joy because Jesus has done it before us and Jesus lives within us. Because of Christ and because of our witness to his death, life, death, and resurrection, we can live out our human lives without fear of losing the temporal, without fear of being assaulted by it. There are many places in Scripture where we are admonished not to fear. Mary was told not to be afraid, and when she overcame her fear, she was able to become a God-bearer. Peter walked on water until his fear enveloped him and he began to sink. The disciples would do miracles in God's name and be willing to face persecution and even martyrdom and have that courage because God gave them something that allowed them to get past their fear. The world begins to change when we overcome fear. And those places that once terrified us become places where we encounter the living God. What might we accomplish if we could routinely set aside our physical fears, the kind of fears that cripple us? What kind of world might we build if we stopped crucifying ourselves between those two thieves of the regret of the past and fear of the future? What could we do if we let our knowledge of the unimaginable and insurmountable love of God make us stronger, make us God-bearers to rise above this world and amid the storms of crisis to encounter the living God? If we remember the eternal, to love God and others, and we remember that it lasts and the temporal does not, then we begin to build that world. We come here to this church, to our religion, to our life of faith, to remind each other of what is truly real, so that in passing through the temporal, we do not lose the eternal. We come here to remind each other that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from God. And when we remember that, the thieves of fear no longer steal from us. We live in peace with ourselves and with our God. We do it because we remember that nothing can separate us from God. We are human beings. We do live a life here that is physical and tangible and visible. But when we live in Christ Jesus here and now, we experience the kingdom of God on earth. We live out that line that we pray so often in the Lord's Prayer, where we ask, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is a beautiful life, this physical existence. It can be very beautiful, and it is a gift from God. I love this life, temporal though it may be. I've always loved this life. We have spoken of the Christ all these years. So the eternal lives in us now, interwoven with the temporal. We have admired and loved and followed the Christ all these years. And as Christians, this day or any day, we have the chance to meet the real thing. Amen.